If the preacher stands in the pulpit and says, I'm going to talk about you this morning, does that strike maybe a little bit of fear in your heart? It's not intended to, but I do intend to talk a little bit about you today. In fact, Jesus, a long, long time ago, talked about you. He said some things about you, and he said those things in the book of Luke. If you have your Bible this morning, please turn to Luke chapter 8. We're going to begin the reading in a moment in Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. And in this text, Jesus talked about four kinds of people. And as I introduced the lesson this morning, Jesus spoke of four kinds of soil, four grounds. Those four kinds of soil or four grounds represent four kinds of hearts. There are four kinds of hearts, and those four hearts cover absolutely everyone who hears the Word of God. You are one of those four kinds of hearts. As we look at this study, the parable of the sower, as we look at this, we're going to ask a question about these four kinds of hearts. Were they converted or not? There are some people, I will tell you up front, who say only one of the four was converted. Some say two of the four. Some say three. We'll see as we study. But you are one of these four hearts. And so I want, as we study this morning, I want you to evaluate yourself according to what Jesus said about you. Now, someone says, well, already I'm thinking I may see or hear some things that I don't want to see. Well, that's right. I might hear some things this morning from Jesus that I'm not comfortable with. But if that's the case, Jesus tells me that I can change and I can be what he wants me to be. Now, this parable is often called the parable of the sower. Sometimes it's called the parable of the soils. We sometimes speak of it as a parable of the hearts or a parable of the hearers because it's all about hearing. But Jesus himself settled that in Matthew 13:18 when he said, hear the parable of the sower. So we'll go with what Jesus said. This is indeed the best known of all the parables in the New Testament, but it may not be the best understood. In fact, a lot of folks, I think, draw conclusions about this parable that may not be consistent with the Scripture. And so my objective in the lesson this morning is to help us all understand the truth and then to aid us in making changes if we don't like what we see. Thank you for being here this morning. I appreciate your coming, your listening, giving me these few minutes. We'll be done before 11:30. Giving me these few minutes to study the Scripture, to study from Jesus with you. I want to begin by talking about the plainness of the parable. The simple message of the parable is one that is easily understood by the common man of that time. Everybody had seen a sower go out into a field and to sow the seed, whether it was wheat or could have been corn or some other grain, whatever it might have been. And I would say this about the plainness of the parable, that there is no parable that has more application to your life and to mine than this. Sometimes people will ask me the question, Max, what about that parable of the unjust steward? I don't understand it. It's a difficult parable. Well, it is a difficult parable, at least on the surface. But this is the one we should be asking about. Which one of these four soils, which one of these four hearts is mine? This parable will teach you more about yourself than any other parable that Jesus taught. Now let's read our text together, beginning at Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. When a great multitude had gathered, they had come to him from every city. He spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground. It sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried out and spoke to them and said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now everybody in that time had seen the four situations that Jesus described. He spoke first of a wayside soil. Here's a man who is sowing seed and yet it's falling on the beaten path. You know that's not going to grow. And then the second The second falls on a rock, on rocky ground. It's hard to grow stuff if you got a lot of rock in the soil. And then thirdly, some seed falls on the thorny ground. That is, the seed begins to spring up, but you've got the thorns that are choking it out. You've seen that in your garden. The weeds come up and choke out what you're trying to grow. But then the fourth ground is the good ground. And it's this fourth ground which produces the crop, produces the fruit. Now, this is not a difficult parable to understand. In fact, Jesus goes on in the next set of verses to explain what he means by the parable. In fact, look at verse number 9. Then his disciples ask him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this." Now here's Jesus going to talk about these four kinds of soil: the wayside, the rocky, the thorny ground, the good ground. He's going to give an application and tell what he means by the parable. The parable is this, he says in verse 11, "The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are those who hear." Notice some people, remember, call this the parable of the hearers. Here we've got a hearer. "Those who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, they go out and are choked with cares, riches, and the pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." Now, Jesus explains the parable, doesn't he? And it's really pretty easy to understand. Only one of these four is approved by Jesus. Now, I ask you, remember this, you are one of the four hearts, and I ask you to judge yourself as we go through the lesson and ask yourself whether you are that wayside ground, the rocky ground, the thorny ground, or whether your heart is the good ground. You have to ask yourself that question. The other three, the one that is approved, the other three have some sort of problem. Now, the simplicity of the parable causes some folks today to stumble, as it did in Jesus' time. Some folks think, "Ooh, this parable, it's too simple. You know, there must be some hidden meaning." And it's like one person said to me, "I can get a lot reading between the lines in this parable." Well, folks, all I've got between the lines is white space. I don't get anything between the lines. Jesus is not giving us some mystical, vague message that cannot be understood. And then there are some folks who say things about these four kinds of people that Jesus never said. In fact, some folks even draw faulty conclusions and even contradict what Jesus said. So let's dig a little deeper and let's understand what Jesus is saying. Here's the simple analysis of the four hearers. He speaks of that first which is sown on the wayside ground. We're asking the question, were these persons converted or not? Well, you saw that this first person not converted. Look at what it said. In verse number 12, "Those by the wayside are the ones who hear." They hear the word of God, but then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So you can see that this person is never converted. Jesus said they're not saved. They never receive the word of God, even though they hear it. Now that on the rocky ground, this person is converted, but fell away. Someone says, "I'm not sure if they were converted or not." Well, look at what the text says. It says in verse number 13, "Those on the rock are they who, when they hear, they receive the word, and they receive it with joy," Jesus said. Now, this is different than that which fell on the wayside. They receive it with joy, but he says these have no root, and believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. And so this person is converted, but falls away. And then the third is the thorny ground. This person is converted, but is unfruitful. Notice again, verse 14, "These are the ones that fell among the thorns. These are those who, when they have heard," see, these persons have heard, "they go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, but they bring no fruit to maturity." And so this person is converted, but is unfruitful. Now, you know which one, of course, is the one that pleased the Lord. It's number 4, the good ground. This person was indeed converted by the word of God and did bear fruit. Verse number 15, the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, they keep it and they bear fruit with patience. Heart number 4 bore fruit. And according to Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, where Jesus tells this same parable, some bore 30-fold, some bore 60-fold, some bore 100-fold. Some bore more than others. But the Lord was pleased because each one bore what he could. And what was it that caused this fourth person to stand out from the others? What caused him to stand out? It's not hard to understand. Jesus describes his heart as a noble and good heart. By contrast, the wayside ground, this person represented by this kind of soil, he was never converted because he never received the word of God. The second, this person was converted, but when problems came along, when temptation came along, this person couldn't stand the heat because of the rocky ground. There was no root, and so the heat of the day destroyed this person, the temptation and problems of this life. The third ground, the thorny ground, this person was converted, but the problem there was there were too many other things in their life. There was the cares of and riches and the worries about this life. The person was focused more on this life than on the life to come. Focused more on what they could have now than having eternity with God. And that's why they're not described as having the good and noble heart. Because all these other things, these thorns growing up in their life, the rocks in this life, the thorns in this life, prevented them from pleasing the Lord. The fourth, the good and noble heart, that's the one that pleased God. So you are in this parable. You're one of these four. You might be the wayside soil and you're hearing this today. Maybe you've heard the gospel 10 times, maybe 100 times, and you don't believe it yet. You're still rejecting the gospel. You're the wayside ground then. Okay? You might be that rocky ground. And it may be that you have no root. You're not allowing the Word of God to really sink down deep in your life and take root to where you can be strong. And when temptation comes along, you will be able to stand. Maybe you're that person that when temptation or persecution comes, you're just going to give up on God. A lot of people do that. Maybe you're number 3, the thorny ground. You were converted to Jesus. You heard the truth and you believed in Jesus. You were baptized. But there were a lot of other things in your life that you were more interested in than the gospel. And these things choked out the effect of the Word of God in your life, and your life cannot bear fruit for God. Or you're number 4. You're converted to Jesus. You heard, believed, and obeyed the Lord, and you're bearing fruit. It's just that simple. You are one of these four hearts. I don't care if you're young or old, if you're black or white, if you're rich or poor, no matter what you are one of these four hearts, and you get to decide which one you want to be. Okay, pretty simple parable. It's just that simple. But we're not done, because there are some problems with the parable. Oh, no problems at all with the parable itself. I'm talking about people who have problems. People who have problems with the parable, who say things about the parable that are contrary to what Jesus said. And some folks create problems by what they say about this parable. Let me show you what I mean. With respect to heart number 1, well, this poor person never had a chance. You see, the devil came along and took the word, stole the word out of their heart before it could take root. This poor person, they might have been saved, but the devil wouldn't let them be saved. The devil stole the word of God. And while it's true that Jesus did say in Luke 8:12, those by the wayside are those who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That is true. Satan stole the word away from him. But don't say he never had a chance. You cannot say that. Everyone, whether you're young or old, black or white, rich or poor, everyone gets an opportunity. Everyone has the same kind of opportunity. But the problem is, what has made that heart the wayside soil? Maybe he has a bias against the truth. Maybe he's prejudiced against the Lord's church. Maybe he's in love with traditions of men. Maybe he's just in love with sin itself. I'm not going to hear the word of God because I know if I hear the word of God, I'm going to have to change my life and stick his fingers in his ears, either literally or figuratively. No, he has an opportunity, but he's decided that he is not going to hear, and so the word will be of no effect to him. Let me say this, and let me be very clear, and we could give you a dozen verses to verify this. I don't think you need the verses, though, that all men have free will either to accept or reject the gospel. Everybody gets free will. And the problem here with the wayside soil is that this fellow chooses to reject it. What was it that Joshua said? Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You get a choice, says God. Whosoever will, says the book of Revelation chapter 22. You get to make a choice. And so don't say this person never had a chance. There's a problem with the heart there. And you see that. Now let's go to number two. Number two, someone says, well, you say converted, Max, but no, this person was not truly converted. Number two was not truly converted. If they were truly converted, they would not have fallen away. Maybe they only pretended to be converted. Maybe they only pretended to believe. And my friends, I have heard that now for more than 40 years. I've heard it repeated over and over and over again. I hear it from the once saved, always saved people, those who believe in the false doctrine of Calvinism. I hear it from them. But I sometimes hear it from God's people, people in the Lord's church who ought to know better, who argue that when someone falls away, well, that just means they were never truly converted. What did Jesus say? Look again at what Jesus said in verse number 13. It was Jesus who said, those on the rock are those who, when they hear... Notice, this is a person who's willing to listen. When they hear, they receive the word. This means they've taken in what they've heard from the word of God. This is not a person rejecting it. This isn't a person who's filled with love of sin or tradition or whatever. This is a person who's going to receive it. And they not only receive it, Jesus said they receive it with joy. This person is glad to hear the good message of salvation. And he says they believe. They believe for a while, and that's the problem, isn't it? They believe for a while, but then in time of temptation, they fall away. Don't say they pretended to believe. Jesus said they do believe. The problem is they only believe for a while. They don't stay with it. I think there are sometimes people who believe that when a person is truly converted, he cannot fall away. Is that what you believe? Do you believe that if a person is truly converted to Jesus, he cannot fall away? I will just tell you, my friend, that's not consistent with the Scriptures. And one of the cases that's offered for that is Simon the Sorcerer. In Acts chapter 8, flip over in your Bible to Acts chapter 8. Here's a man in the city of Samaria. The man is a magician, a sorcerer. He doesn't have any real power, but he sure pulled the wool over a lot of people's eyes. He's a faker, okay? And it says in verse number 9, I'm looking at Acts chapter 8, verse number 9, there's a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in that city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. Okay? Drop down to verse number 13, verses 12 and 13 together. It says, these people in Samaria, they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the principles, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Notice, it said Simon himself also believed and was baptized, just like the rest of the Samaritans had done. And yet, just a few verses later, this man commits a sin. It's a grievous sin. In verse number 18, Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. He offered them money, saying, give me this power also that anyone on whom I may lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Someone said, see there, that proves it. He wasn't truly converted. If he was truly converted, he wouldn't have tried to buy this power from the apostles. And Peter said his heart wasn't right with God. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. When people teach on this, it is often the case that they will say, in fact, they will sometimes even misquote the Scripture. They will say, see, Peter said that his heart wasn't yet right with God. Peter said his heart was still in the bond of iniquity. His heart was still under the power of Satan. Peter never said that. That's something that men are adding to what the text says. Someone says, are you saying that Simon the sorcerer was truly converted? I am. No, I'm not. The Holy Spirit is saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm arguing that that's what the Holy Spirit said. Back in verse number 12, it was the Holy Spirit who said that the Samaritans believed Philip and were baptized. In verse 13, it's the Holy Spirit who said, Simon also believed and he was baptized. That's the Holy Spirit's testimony. And yet people want to come along and say, no, Simon was never saved, never converted. Listen, this man fell. This man fell away. Someone says, well, if you fall away, that proves you didn't really have it in the first place. If you fall away, that proves you didn't have it. How can you fall if you're not there in the first place? If I fall off of this stage, don't someone comes along and says, well, if Max fell off the stage, that just proves he was never on it. How do I fall off of it if I was never on it? You understand that. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, the apostle said, those of you who are trying to be justified by law, you are fallen from grace. My friends, it is possible to fall away, and that's what happened here. Whoever these people are who are represented by the rocky ground, they were truly converted. Another argument is made regarding the Apostle Peter. Look at in your Bible in the book of Luke again, this time Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And there are people who want to argue that the Apostle Peter wasn't converted. And if you've got the King James Version, your text reads something like this. This is Luke 22, beginning at verse 31. Jesus is only hours away from the cross. He's talking to the apostles, to Peter, but also to the other apostles about the fact that they're going to have a difficulty. They're going to turn away from him. Some of them are going to deny him. One is going to betray him. And the Lord said to Peter in verse 31, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny me that you know me three times. Now, I was reading there. I was quoting the King James Version, which said, when you are converted. Someone says, see, that proves that Peter was not really a follower of Jesus. Do you seriously believe that? The man who in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 18 and verse 28, said, Lord, we have left all to follow you. Here's a man who has followed Jesus throughout Samaria, Galilee, and Judea for 3.5 years, and you say he's not truly a follower of Jesus? He is among the most intimate of the disciples with Jesus. But Peter wasn't truly converted. He wasn't a real follower of Jesus yet. My friends, that's just wrong. The word converted there is not used in the traditional sense. Listen carefully. Reading now from the New King James Version. Jesus said to Peter in verse 32, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. That is to utterly fail. Okay? And when you have returned to me, what Jesus knows is going to happen about Peter is only hours away at the most, because Jesus is going to go out to the garden, he's going to pray, and the disciples are going to be scattered. Judas is going to betray him, the disciples are going to be scattered, Jesus is going to be arrested and taken before Pilate's judgment hall, and Peter is going to stand on the outside, looking inside. And a little girl comes up to him and says, you are one of them, you're a Galilean. You are a follower of Jesus. And Jesus says, I am not. Peter says, I am not. And then a second time it's said, another who's standing by the fire outside the judgment hall says, your speech betrays you. We can tell that you're a Galilean. You're one of his disciples. And Peter denies it again, and he denies it a third time. And the third time he curses with an oath and says, I do not know the man. Here is a man who is a true follower of Jesus but falls. He fails on this account. But that doesn't mean he was never converted to Jesus. We've got to get rid of this thinking that says if you fall away, that proves you never had it in the first place. If you stumble and fall, that means you were never really converted. The point is, Jesus knew what Peter was going to do. Jesus knew that Peter would return to him after his fall. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. Let's look at number three. Number three also presents a problem because some people say, oh, number three has also fallen away. Number two has fallen away. Number three has fallen away. The scripture really never says that. While this number three, the thorny ground, remember that's the one with the cares of the world and riches and all this stuff growing up around it. This person may not please God, but Jesus did not say they'd fallen away. Jesus just said they bring forth no fruit. And why is that? Why don't they bring forth fruit for God? Because they're consumed with too many other things, things other than Jesus. They bring no fruit. This person doesn't fall away. Let me say it again. This person doesn't fall away. This person doesn't go away. He's just fruitless. And maybe more Christians fit in this category than any other. You see, spiritual things are boring to him. Bible reading? I don't really want to do that. Singing? Gathering together for worship? He may not quit on God, but he's just disinterested. Just doesn't care about spiritual things. He would like to know what the minimum requirements are for him to get to heaven. Do I have to attend all the services for the entire week? You know, we've got Sunday morning Bible class worship and then Sunday afternoon worship and more Bible class on Wednesday night. Do I have to do all that stuff? Because I got a lot of other things I'm interested in. Just bought a new boat. Hey, and my wife for our anniversary, look at this rod and reel. Or golf clubs, or whatever it may be. There's too many other things in his life that crowds out the spirituality that he ought to have. So he's looking for the minimum requirements to get to heaven, and that's all he's going to give. Being a Christian gets in the way of his real life. He may not quit, but he brings forth no fruit. Is that you? If it is, it doesn't have to be. And then we've got number four. Why is this guy commended? Okay, someone might ask that. Maybe ask that out of jealousy. Why does Jesus speak highly of him? It's because he brings forth fruit. It's just that simple. He brings forth fruit. And he brings forth fruit because he chooses to. Jesus in John 15 verse 8 said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." That's what Jesus wants you to do. It's what he wants you to do. It's what he wants me to do. Bear much fruit. To glorify his Father. That's it. That's how simple this lesson is. Anyone can choose to be a fruit bearer. But I will tell you, it does not come by easy believism. Easy believism, that's the doctrine that says, oh yeah, well, you sort of believe in Jesus and you sort of be nice to people and you sort of go to heaven. There's nothing really required of you. Just sort of believe and everything's going to be fine. That's not what Jesus taught. We've got to be careful about drawing faulty conclusions from these things. Someone says, well, that's the end of the story. Not quite. Turn back to Luke, and we're going to wrap up. I've still got 2.5 minutes left. I'm watching the clock carefully, just like some of you are. Okay? Luke chapter 8. You're not clock watchers. I know that. Look at the next three verses after the fruit-bearing passage. Jesus has more to say, and here comes the end of the parable. Verse number 16, Jesus said, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under the bed, but sets it on a lampstand for those who enter, that those who enter may see the light." Jesus is talking about himself. He is the one who has lit the lamp by this parable. Jesus wants you to see the light. Jesus wants you to understand his will. Jesus has lit the lamp for you. The parable is told not to confuse you or lead you astray, but so that you may understand. That's what this is about. Look at the next verse, verse 17. "For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light." I think he's talking about your heart here. He's been talking about hearts all the way along. By his teaching, Jesus wants you this morning to learn about your own heart. Now, God already knows your heart. And it'll be clear on the judgment day. You know, today we keep secrets. We may pretend to do this or do that, but there will be no secrets then. That's why he says, nothing is secret that will not be revealed. Come judgment day, it's going to be very clear what your heart is about. One more verse. He concludes now by saying in verse 18, "Therefore, take heed how you hear." I don't know how many times that word "hear" was found in the previous part of this, but it was found over and over and over. Each one, the four hearers, He says, now take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given. Whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken away. You need to understand this simple parable, says Jesus. And when you understand this simple parable and you get your heart right with God, more understanding is going to come. You understand this simple parable and you be heart number four, nothing but good is down the line. Take heed how you hear. Only those people who hear with a good and noble heart are going to be blessed on that last day. So you need to open your heart to God. If you got rocks in there, chunk the rocks. Throw them away. You got thorns and thistles growing up around it, pull them out. You don't need them. Focus on spiritual things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Jesus in Mark 16 said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He'll receive you. But then after you're converted, you determine whether or not those rocks are going to be in there, those thorns and thistles growing up, or whether you're going to be the good and noble heart. It's just that simple. Is there someone who needs to respond to the invitation today? It is the Lord who invites you to come as we stand and sing. Come now, please.